I'm speaking today with former Houston City Council member Sue Lovell, and we're going to talk about Metro, the University Line, and the Metro referendum that'll be on the ballot this November. So, first question, I mean, while you were on council, you actually played a role in Metro's agreement with the City of Houston to build the light rail line.
I did.
So talk to me a little about what that was all about, what you did, what all that meant.
Well, it was actually a major role. I chaired the TIA, Transportation, Infrastructure, and Aviation Committee, and I went to Mayor White, and there was like no movement on the consent agreement, which is the document between the city and Metro, on how the infrastructure will be built, to start the line. So I asked Mayor White if he would assign that task to me, and he gladly did, and it took us almost a year between Metro and the City of Houston Public Works. We worked about every week for 3-4 hours in a room together, going through the document page by page, and brought to council, won on a 13-2 vote. That then allowed Metro to have the document that allowed them to start going out and building the light rail lines.
All right, so at the time that all this happened, what was your expectation of what Metro would do from there? What was your expectation of what would follow?
That first of all, that they would fulfill the wish of the voters from the 2003 referendum, which was to complete the transit segments, which at that point were light rail lines. It was a whole system that was planned inside the city that was to move people around the inner city. I assume that was their priority, and they were going to move forward on that.
Okay. And, I mean, looking back from there to here, you know, how do you evaluate?
Well, there was a lot of different difficulties that happened. There was opposition here from a local congressman. Had a downturn in the economy. There was a lot of difficulties. The choices to move forward with the North Line, East End, and then the Southeast, which those were chosen as the first lines to build. University Line would come later. University Line is the main feeder. It's the main artery to the rest of the segment. It feeds all, from every employment center, it would feed all the different segments. So, my concern now is not so much about a fight over rail. It's about what's going to happen to these transit corridors. The other transit corridors may have rail, but what is University Transit Corridor? What are the plans for that? Because if you don't put that in, how do you feed all the other transit corridors? And you have a community here that since 2003, all plans, all development have been based on the fact there was going to be this university line.
You can't talk about the university line, though, without talking about, you know, the opposition to it as well. I mean, there's certainly, from my perspective, there's strong support, but the opposition has been very visible. And as you say, they've had Representative Culberson on their side and Representative DeLay before that. How much has that affected this? How much of a real obstacle to getting this built do you think that has been?
I think it was certainly a part of it. I don't think it was a majority. I think there was a lot of different moving parts that had to come together to make this work. One was funding. Of course, one was the fact that you did have a congressman who now does not represent this area. He now, his congressional district is on the other side of Shepherd, Upper Kirby and up. The congressman here now is Congressman Poe. I think it had something to do with it. I think it was more about funding and how you would continue. $71 million was spent on preparing this corridor to come ahead and put light rail. And so there was movement. I think the fact that there weren't the dollars available from Congress to continue it probably was a major part.
Now, with the upcoming referendum, and from the conversations that I've had with David Crossley, who is leading the opposition, and with Chairman Garcia, who obviously wants the referendum passed, I don't think anybody is disputing the fact that the university line is, you know, going to be delayed. That the funding isn't there right now. It's going to be delayed.
The university line, as a light rail line, absolutely delayed. Maybe not even ever completed, given the fact that the agreement that was made between, you know, for this referendum that was made with the different partners was that they would not spend any money on light rail till $400 million was accrued. And that's about 2025. So everything, all the money's been spent to prepare this corridor for light rail, all that expires. And that's gone. So you'd have to start over again. Between now and 2025 is a long time. And if you start at 2025, then you're looking at many years forward to start all over again. My concern is conversations about the university line as a transit corridor. And it doesn't have to be light rail, but you have got to put in this transit corridor over here because it's part of the transportation system that was planned to move people around the city. And whether you go to Richmond, which is in terrible shape because no one has spent a dime on it because everybody anticipated be torn up for light rail, there's $300 to $400 million of development on hold over here because there's no predictability in building on Richmond because you don't know if a transit corridor is going to be there. No discussions about what we're going to do to replace a very important line to feed the rest of our transit system. None of those conversations have taken place. And for us, and for my neighborhood over here, you know, that gives us great concern.
What do you want to see happen? Given the constraints, you know, given the constraints and the current reality, what do you see as the best possible outcome? What do you want to see happen?
Well, first of all, I would have liked to have seen it, and it may be too late, when this decision was made, was some conversations with the neighborhood about what could be done. None of those conversations have taken place. There were a lot of conversations over on the East End about an underpass, you know, with the neighborhoods and how it impacts. There's been not one conversation in this neighborhood about how, if the university line goes away, how that will impact this neighborhood. So that'd be nice. Number two, you know, go through, do your work on Richmond, take it down, repave it. You could get some really cool looking buses that look like light rail cars that have them all over the United States. Set it up and run it on buses, but and operate it just like it was a light rail. Put your stops in, put your stations in exactly where you planned them. All you're doing is you're just not running it on light rail. You're running it as a bus system.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, with some not these kind of cars. There's some neat looking cars. Then what you could do is you could have traffic through there too, alongside of the buses because they could run. Because there's 2,000 units being built here in Montrose. People moving in. I just talked to the traffic department of the city, the engineer. They're anticipating that the traffic that'll come off 59, the increase that's going to come through this neighborhood is going to be tremendous. And if we don't figure out how we're going to move people around, then we're going to be behind and be very difficult to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking as I got here. I used to live a block away from where you live now, which is just off of Richmond. But I lived here 20 years ago, and the traffic on Richmond wasn't so bad. I don't drive on Richmond today.
Nobody
if
does.
I can help it.
I mean, because your car, in some way, shape, or form, will it's so
you
bad.
You don't get anywhere. I mean, yeah. it's bumper to bumper all the time. You know, you talk about some of the things that you would like to see done. You know, this referendum is about the general mobility program, in which Metro provides money from its sales tax receipts to the city of Houston, Harris County, and the small cities for transportation projects. first of all, what kind of projects did Houston spend its general mobility program money on while you were on council?
We did some expansion of some bus systems. The Quick Line is very successful. That comes out of West Houston on Bellaire Boulevard. Those kind of they did some on upgrading, because our bus shelters are pitiful. I mean, they're horrible. Some upgrading on that. They tried to redesign some of the and put in some other effective bus systems. But probably the majority of what was spent was completing the light rail lines over on the East End North Line.
Because generally, I mean, in Harris County and the member cities, they use it for road projects. The city of how much did the city of Houston spend its GMP money on road projects?
I don't know. I don't have that.
Okay. I mean, the first proposal that was made for the redo of the general mobility program would have been essentially to give the city of Houston more money.
I supported that. I thought it was a great agreement. I actually thought they should have just extended out the mobility as it is now, given notice to the small cities who have become used to getting those funds, letting them know that there'd be another referendum in 4 years, 5 years, however long you want to extend. They needed to start getting prepared for that. And then letting the lines become completed, the light rail lines, and then we could all reassess where we are.
I mean, a lot of the work that would need to be done to prepare the University Corridor for rail, whether you do some sort of bus thing first or whatever, is going to be, you know, road work, drainage work, utility work.
Yeah.
This is stuff that, in other contexts, the city of Houston would pay for itself. Do you think, there will be any movement to get the city to spend some of its general mobility money on that kind of work to make it easier for Metro to, you know, do what it promised it would do when it could?
Well, that's what we're hoping. It would have been really, really nice to have had those conversations before, or at least directly after. But yes, I mean, you know, actually what you could have done if you wanted would be to have gone in and have done all the infrastructure work underneath, pull up, do all the infrastructure work, repave it, and then when you had the funding to put the light rail in, the infrastructure work would have been done below. You could still run buses on the top. Then all you have to do is lay your rail, and then you could have your light rail. Given the fact that they weren't going to start University Line light rail till 2020, probably, but they still could have kept the $71 million and not wasted those dollars. Because now the environmental and all of that, most of that goes away. It just expires, the public meetings and all of that. If you would have continued the work on the road, then you could have at least save some of the $71 million and been prepared to if you wanted to go to light rail. If you don't go to light rail, then you've done the infrastructure work over there you need to do, and you could have just kept, you know, running the buses.
How dependent is the city of Houston on the general mobility program money?
Well,
I mean, I get the impression
they've gotten as spoiled by it as every other small city. It certainly supplements CIP work that's being done. But now, you know, the general mobility money, when we did Rebuild Houston, was to go into, those funds were to go in to help fund Rebuild Houston until the fees could accrue, where there'd be money to be able to do on projects,
and
to build projects.
I mean, do you support the referendum, or do you plan to vote for it or against it?
At this point, I'm going to vote no on it, simply because I hope that it will stir some kind of conversations and some assurances to our community over here, and pretty much the whole community. They feel very betrayed and very upset. So I'm going to vote no and hope somebody's going to come sit down with us and give us some plans or assurances that that the transit corridor on Richmond, that there'll be work or plans or something to move forward. But saying I would vote yes, I'm not so sure that we would have those conversations.
Okay. I guess the only other question I have at this point is, you know, again, where do you hope we will go from here? Whether the referendum passes or it fails, you know, what's the next step? Conversations,
sure.
And what else?
Well, you know, it part of this was that we needed to vote yes on this, because if it doesn't pass, and it was said in the newspaper by one of the county officials, if y'all don't work hard and pass this, we'll just go to the legislature. I find it interesting that nobody even polled our local state representatives and senators to ask them, would they honor the will of the people? And if the people decided that they wanted all the mobility funds to go to Metro, then why have people voting out of fear? But it was decided that we needed to move forward with this because we thought there'd be a fight in the legislature over the makeup of Metro and who has control over the board. I thought that, you know, you ought to ask the locals how they felt about that before you said, well, we need to do this because there might be a fight. I thought that was interesting. The other thing is that, you know, a lot of growth is going to happen out in the county. It's going to continue to grow. And clearly the county and the smaller cities are, you know, they become dependent upon this money. It's tax money that's being given back to them. Maybe we need to really sit down and redecide what our focus is going to be and how we're going to do transportation. Maybe the city of Houston ought to just have its own City of Houston Transit Department and plan the transportation within the city, because it's urban transportation, how we move people around in an urban setting. And then the counties and the other cities, they can take care of the suburban transportation, and we figure out how we match that up and make it easy and accessible for the people that live in the whole metro area.
That's the whole challenge, though, isn't it? Doing this planning on a regional basis, because everyone has their own interests and they don't always
and modes of transportation are very, very different. So if you've got 4,000 units being built just inside the loop of people, and the density is going to continue to happen inside the loop, and we want it to, that won't stop. The density and the growth, not so much density, but the growth will continue out in the suburbs. To plan one system, to kind of, it's like one size fits all, one size fits none. So why not let the county go ahead and plan their system and then link up with our inner city system? And then you might use light rail inside, but you might not use light rail out to the suburbs. You might do the park and rides and bring them in. You know, you might be able to do this in a whole different way instead of, well, I need the money out here because here's the growth, but the inner city also needs the funding because of the density.
All right. Sue Lovell, thank you very much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.